Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and Garrett is hanging out behind the glass.
Don't forget to join Dukes and Bell today at Napa Auto Parts in Miro. As soon as we get ready, for the Falcon season to kick off, during the final hour of the broadcast, the Falcons in Napa will be giving away free car flags. Plus, there'll be a special appearance by Freddie Falcon, the Falcons cheerleaders, and Falcons legend Jarius Norwood, Jay Smooth. That's Dukes and Bell today at Napa Auto Parts in Morrow on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Look at Garrett playing proper Eric Church here. You know, not what our boy Dylon's playing probably in his iPod.
Played wrecking ball.
I said iPod like I was like.
He thought the Wrecking Ball vibes from Eric Church were going to be the same as Miley Cyrus.
Well, you hear the song title Wrecking Ball. That sounds loud.
Yes.
Proud.
But then you realize he's coming home to his girl.
And it's dirty.
I'm going to kick this door in.
Good song,
Where's she at?
It has those Riley Green vibes
it
right now.
It really does.
It really does.
50 Shades of Green, I hear you.
All right. Yesterday, we talked about Falcons defense. Let's focus on the offense today because Sunday is coming. It is getting closer and closer. So we're going against the Bucs defense, obviously. What matchups are you most confident in? What are you worried about? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's break it down. I want to say, Bo, that I'm most confident in Bijan Robinson, but I'm not because he has not been a massive part of the game plan throughout his first couple of seasons here in Atlanta. The most confident you should be is for Drake London. Drake London has been that guy. I realize that Darnell Mooney is a day-to-day situation, but Drake London, the way he has matched up with this secondary, and they have a decent secondary. We know these guys. We know Antoine Winfield. We know some of the other pieces they have in place. But, boy, oh, boy, he's had a couple of really, really good games, and his physicality kind of sets the tone when it comes to these kind of matchups with Tampa. So, I am definitely most confident in him, although I am positive they will have some kind of special game plan for him, no doubt, on Sunday.
I don't know how do you cover Drake if you're Tampa? Do you do some kind of bracket coverage? Do you try to come up on him and try to maybe press him off the line a little bit and throw him off? I mean, who's going to do it? You, Jamel Dean? You, Zion McCollum? They can't cover him. Personally, in five games against Tampa, the guys got almost 600 yards receiving, and in 42 catches. So that's six games. Excuse me. He's done a really good job against Tampa, and he's starting to kind of do what Mike Evans has done in a little bit different way to us. Right? Be a problem.
Yeah.
He's a matchup problem. I think the best thing they can do to stop him is Hassan Reddick and Vita Vea and these guys, Kalijah Kancey, getting after the Falcons offensive line.
Yeah.
And look, Ryan Neuzel was when Kirk Cousins threw for almost 800 yards and eight touchdowns against Tampa Bay, Ryan Neuzel was the starting center. So
yeah,
he's going
point.
Against Vita Vea. And they had Bergeron and Lindstrom, so that's going to be an interesting. That's where they have to if they want to do that.
Yeah, I think that, and it's funny because Ryan Neuzel, like I said it a couple times during training camp, him being like a tree stump. You know what I mean? It seems like the kind of game that he plays, he should fare pretty well against the Vita Vea, but I don't think anybody fares great against Vita Vea. And I always say this because I'm a taller guy and I did play some interior. Length is strength. He doesn't have that length, right, when it comes to being able to get separation from Vita Vea. So he's going to have to kind of make sure that Vita Vea is not a train and is more of like a go-kart. You know what I mean? You can't let him stay on the tracks and continue to move forward. You have to make sure that there's some change of direction there and you can kind of throw him off balance. And hopefully that's part of the game plan, not just something Ryan Neuzel has to deal with.
And if you're going to win this game, you're going to have to run the ball the way you did against them in the second game in Tampa, where you ran for 130 yards in a 4.5 yard clip.
Yeah.
But Bijan had 63 in that game. I'll put it this way: if you play them the way you did in week five, I think it was the Thursday night game, you're going to lose. Kirk, because they ran for 160 yards in Atlanta that week, that Thursday night game, and Baker only threw for 180, but he threw for three touchdowns. So you're going to have to do a little bit of ball control and the offense, and you're going to need Bijan and Tyler Allgeier to step up.
Well, and one of the most crucial matchups I want to ask you about is Michael Penix versus Antoine Winfred. Where is the where's the confidence level on that?
Yeah, that's a huge one, right? That's the entire deal. That's when you look at Penix and the in facing off with the safety position, really all the secondary, but when you look at his ability to kind of match up and read things the correct way and make some of the intermediate throws, I think that's going to be one of the biggest things when it comes to intermediate throws. Right? When it comes to throwing down the field, I think he's fine. When it comes to play action and beating over the top, that's fine. When it comes to the intermediate stuff, I think that's where, when you look back at the film last year of Michael Penix, that's where there's room for growth.
Yeah, go back to the play that has caused a lot of discussion, which was the non-timeout against Washington. And then that play is he throws like a bench route, so to speak, to Mooney. And it's like, that's in that 10 to 20 yard, which is you're calling 10 to 20 intermediate is what I would call intermediate. And he was off. Yeah. He missed Mooney. He had Mooney wide open. He missed him. And if he hits that, you get out, you kick the field goal, right? And you probably, you're out of bounds, clock stops, you can keep moving. But those are he's just not been as accurate in those first three games on those passes that you need. The deep ball is absolutely, it's stunning how accurate he can be with his deep ball.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, how many times in practice did we watch him go out there and play action over the top to Casey? Play action over the top to Ray. The play action over the top to Ray Ray is why they got in a fight against the Titans. Remember that? Like, it was like, oh, play action, deep ball, bow. And that's the whole cut that came out that's all over Falcons social media where he's like, I'm telling y'all, on game day, I don't miss. I don't miss. That's exactly the situation that it was. And I don't think he will. But he's going to have to hit some of the intermediate throws against Antoine Winfield if we're going to have success when it comes to this Sunday. That's the big step.
And the matchup to me is happening right now between he and Winfield, right? Winfield is studying him, and he's studying some of the tendencies. He's probably sat down with Jesse Bates and was like, what do you think he's going to, because I think we've heard Jesse and how he likes to interact with the quarterbacks. What are some things I should be looking for that this guy might do? Is there anything that I can watch on tape that he might do to bait me, or that he's looking for me to do that he's going to try to get a read off of? Because the one thing we have, there's not a lot of experience. Well, Penix doesn't have a lot of tape out there either. And so, you know, he was – Dukes and Bell talked to Michael Penix yesterday, and they asked him, like, it was a weird question. Like, oh, is it going to be a full playbook? And Penix is like, it always was. Well, yeah. Are there going to be new wrinkles? And he goes, there always are. And everything he says, right. Everything I ever heard out of the camp was that I'm going to tell you this. I personally, no one from the teams told me this. I personally think the playbook actually opened up when Penix got on the field. They didn't take sheets and be like, well, this is, you don't know how to do this. This is Kirk only. I'm going to get that out of the way. They didn't do that. It was.
Yeah. What was the first play when he came in and started?
A rollout.
It was a bootleg.
Yeah. So they opened it up. They said, hey, we can put this page back in and that page back in for. So, and cerebrally, there's nothing, you know, there's things he hasn't seen in defenses, but as far as the playbook and things that he can do physically and mentally, it opened up more. But that said, Winfield's a veteran. He's one of the five best safeties in this league. He's not the best. The best wears number three in black and red. And he'll be on the field this weekend. Just won't be playing for Tampa.
It's definitely a heck of a matchup between those two.
But that's where Jesse and him can get together. And hey, he's going to look for this, look for that. Those are the things we don't ever think about. Plays are made. A lot of times, I think, Mike, in situations like this, Monday through Friday.
Well, and you know, to kind of give an extension to Allie's question about the matchup between those two, how about the matchup between Zach Robinson and Todd Bowles? Like, that's kind of the next tier, right? Zach Robinson, for everything we love about him, I hate to say it, he's still extremely unproven as an offensive coordinator. Like, it just is what it is. Like, he's in his week one game plan last year was by far the worst game plan he had the entire season. I'm still dumbfounded over what the game plan was headed into that game against Steelers. So that's a week one matchup against Todd Bowles is not usually where you'd want things to go because he's so exotic in the way he approaches and attacks these offenses.
Well, but it's very similar in week one is the fact that they're basically always sending somebody. It feels like the way Pittsburgh can get pressure. And that's the thing for me is I don't want to get into the conversation last year with Zach Robinson. I do feel like there's blame to go all the way around with why that was such a vanilla offensive game plan that week. But I still come back to the fact that that is going to be as much on Penix. And yes, this week, it just like I talked about with Winfield and everything, it's Zach Robinson's job to get Michael Penix ready for what those things are going to come. But Michael Penix, when he stands at that line of scrimmage, whether he's in the shotgun, the pistol, or under center, he's going to have to recognize what they're doing and what they're sending because that is going to be a big part of it.
Well, it sounds like you guys think we can handle Winfield. And yes, I worked it back in.
I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going to say it.
Mike, your face does not lie ever.
I wasn't going to say it.
This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Coming up, we've got the NFL season opener tonight. We're going to talk about it in the huddle. Next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Garrett is hanging out behind the glass and... there was just a cleanup session inside the studio. Anybody care to share why?
Well, I was going to say, and it's you mentioned it earlier, that we're all kind of we're looking dapper today.
We're looking fancy.
Yeah, looking fancy. I think anytime somebody, you know, like a governor or any kind of person like that walks in, I can't wait to see what Steak's wearing today.
Yeah, you know that's a good point.
That's going to be like a three-piece suit. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be... I told myself I wouldn't do this. It's going to be like Robert Alford on the postgame show with Randy last.
How far do you think that pocket handkerchief is going to be hanging out of his front pocket?
Pretty good.
And that's
going to be hanging. It's going to have the three mountaintop look. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's all folded.
All right. Do we want to take bets on what color it is?
It's gotta
like,
be red.
I'm going to say, no, red's a good color. Red might be blue. A good color. I think it's going to be blue. I think it's going to be a light blue.
He goes blue a lot.
It's going to be light blue.
He might do like that Tulane blue.
I was just thinking there would be greenish. Like a Georgia theme.
Oh, they have a blue.
Yeah. It's definitely going to have a Georgia theme. And they, you know, Governor Kemp's been in here before with Steak, and they've talked a lot about being at Georgia football games and everything like that. It's not, I mean, we do sports radio. It's one of the more sports conversations you'll ever hear is when Steak has the governor in here. I know he's a politician, but that's all they talked about last time he was in here was Georgia football.
That's all they're talking about this time from what I hear. Never mind. I completely lost. Like my mind just went right away.
Was it Robert Alford?
Oh yeah, yeah. Thank you. I have. Do you own a tuxedo?
Not really. I have the jacket. Yes.
I got one for a wedding one time years ago. I don't even know. I was like 15 pounds lighter then. I don't know if it'll fit me anymore. But
yeah.
Man, if I'd have thought about it, I'd have worn it in today. Yeah. Like when Jim did in the office, it's just awkwardly have a tuxedo on.
I'd like to sit there front row wearing a tuxedo t-shirt. No, I have the jacket. I don't have like the actual shirt or the tie or the pants with the little, you know, satin look on the edge.
Yeah.
But I have a jacket that I've worn to like a black tie wedding before. And like, I just wear like black slacks, even though Arch doesn't like that, the name.
The pants.
That. Yeah. Just
suit
black pants. Suit pants. Slacks is what I call it. I don't know. I got golf pants on today. It is what it is.
Well, yes, Governor Kemp is joining Steak on the Steakhouse today. Rusty Manziel is coming in as well, so it's going to be a Georgia football-themed show today. But tonight, we've got the NFL season opener. Now, this is the Eagles versus the Cowboys. I know we get up early in the morning, but are the both of you going to stay up to watch this one?
Yeah, the first half, for sure. I just can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to stay awake that whole time. I just can't. Like, there's no guarantee. I'm going to watch the game, but there's a really, 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 really good chance I'm going to fall asleep.
My, how the turntables. This guy over here in fatherhood just going to bed all early and putting the kid to sleep and all that. I used to catch so many strays from this man about my situation.
I
right
never,
there.
No, that's
yeah,
all right.
Always talk trash about.
No,
him.
I never. That's not why I make fun of you.
And
I make fun of you.
It's why I
make fun of
tables.
You because, you know, I'm not gonna
be careful. I was gonna say
mean.
I don't
I'm
know.
Not gonna be
I,
mean. Like, I'm you mean, because had nothing to do with your kid.
Okay.
What will you do tonight if you're watching the game and we see Dylan's face pop up on the screen?
I thought you were going to say,
what's your plan for
what
food?
What am I going to do? I'm going to pause it and take a picture of him in his Eagles gear.
That would be so amazing to see Dylan on the game tonight.
Do you think we could pay Simone, like just an unidentified amount of money, to be like, hey, look, you need to talk Dylan into when he proposes, and we've already talked about that she wants it to be at the Eagles game.
Mm-hmm.
She should be like straight up, and you have to do it in Eagles jersey. Do you think we could just pay her to tell him that? I'm not saying to actually make him do that, but to like, she's a content creator, right?
Yeah.
We could like be like, hey, you need to record him and set up like a hidden camera and be like, hey, look, I've been thinking about it. And you know how I said, you know, propose an Eagles game? Like, you have to do it in an Eagles jersey if you're going to do it.
Can I tell you something?
You already is.
I mean this with a great deal of respect. Like, I have been around Simone a few times and I've, you know, known Dylan for quite a while. She has already told him exactly how that day is
for
going
sure.
to go down.
Which he's admitted.
And what I mean exactly, I mean every detail. So he's already got, she'll probably tell you he's already got his instructions. And
I'm
that's
sure
that.
She would. I just hope. And maybe she already has said, hey, it needs to be in Eagles gear.
Yeah.
Like you can't be wearing a black hoodie and proposing.
She probably just said no Falcons gear. I think that's probably.
She
what.
Probably did direct something. I did run the 4.4 miler with her.
Okay.
And when we finished, we took a couple of photos together. She goes, okay, I got to go. Dylan's waiting on me. And I'm like, wait, I drove myself here. Like she got him to go, like drive her down there, drop her off, pick her up. I'm like,
it's a unique situation.
Teach me your ways, girl.
It's unique, man. He's, he is, what does he always call himself? A supportive boyfriend.
He's extremely
very
supportive.
Much.
Boyfriend. But I know that he's enjoying that time. Look, man,
maybe
I,
he'll bring a book to the game like AJ Brown does.
I will say I will be seeking out her content to see the banner drop in Philadelphia. You know, the team has talked about they're not a part of it because they're already looking to this season. But
Sirianni, he just sounds like such a smug, unhappy human being.
What you didn't like? I love what he said about that. And it's the same thing that they've all said this entire offseason. We played Jordan Mailata. The left tackle, remember, he's, you know, a New Zealander or is Australian or whatever. We played his comments. He's like, no, man, we're not defending champs. We just won last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're doing it again. There's nothing to defend.
Which one is he? Is he a Kiwi or is he?
I don't know. I was thinking that the Kiwis are New Zealanders. Shane Van Gisbergen, and everybody thinks he's Australian. He's a Kiwi. He's a New Zealander.
I don't think they like, I think they want to be separated.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, I mean, can you imagine going to Australia and be like, hey, man, how about that maple syrup? You're like, what?
It's got to be like someone assuming you're from Canada.
I'm not from Canada.
Versus, yeah.
The maple syrup. Like, no, man, that's a completely different place. Completely different place.
Hey. Well,
the Chiefs are taking on the Chargers in Sao Paulo. I do wonder if Taylor's going to go.
Surely not.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, where else would she be? She's going to have her private jet flyer in.
Yeah.
She'll be there. She'll be there. She'll be in Brazil for like 5 hours.
You think so?
Yeah, 30 minutes before the game, 30 minutes after the game.
She didn't come to the game in Atlanta last year. Like, why is she going to Sao Paulo?
She wasn't engaged then. She doesn't have that bling to show up.
Is that what it is? They start changing once they
get. You all of a sudden become a left-hander.
Wasn't she also all on tour then?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
She'd already done her tour in Atlanta.
Yeah, she's 3 nights. I need to stop back by. No, I mean, it's cool. I hope she's there. That's fine. I just hope they don't show her a million times.
They will show her a million times. Yeah. Now, the Falcons have apparently created a $6 million in cap space by restructuring wide receiver Darnell Mooney's deal. That is according to Field Yates.
Good. This seems very easy, right? I mean, I know that you're not kicking the can down the curb, but you're like offsetting this money. I think we all trust that Darnell Mooney's a big part of this team, don't we? Like, we all think that Darnell Mooney's a huge part of what this offense is moving forward, and having guys like him around Michael Penix for the next 4 years of Michael Penix's rookie contract, sure, lock him up and you know, kind of make that space available.
It's also just in case money. It's just in case you make a trade in the middle of the season for, you know, a contract and you need a little extra money. That's just to me, that's just moving money around because you know he's going to be here next year, and that's that just in case money. That's the way I see it.
I agree.
Which is good.
What are we just in casing for, you think?
I just said if you need something.
I know, but like, is there anything you got your eye on?
I don't know, maybe a right tackle if something doesn't work out. I
didn't want to say it for you, but I was like,
I don't want to put that out there, but you never, maybe a right tackle.
You don't ever know.
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but when you break camp and you have a 53-man roster, normally the entirety of that 53-man roster does not make it through the end of the season without missing a game or two.
Nor does the entire 53 count against the cap. There you go.
That's right. Only the top 48.
Yeah, there you go.
I do have unfortunate news for the Jets.
51.
Mike, I'm going to watch your face on this one. Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah.
may have suffered a.
I was like, oh God, what? Yeah, I wouldn't know any better than you did on that one.
For those of you that don't know, when a name is mispronounced, Mike either has a comment or makes a face in this room.
He is apparently the pronunciation guy. You know, Allie's, what are we, 5 months in, Allie? I was like, yeah, that's not his name, but it's okay.
He may have suffered a season-ending torn tricep
is what's happening here. Devastating for this team. I got to tell you, I mean, he is one of the best players they have on offense. He's a captain. He is extremely good. And he plays at an all-pro level. And when you're trying to kind of mold an offense, specifically one that runs a lot, yikes. That's not good for them. Will Svitek had this injury 2012-ish. And, you know, it ended his season. And he was never quite the same, I believe. I don't know that he ever came back to Atlanta after that. So it was tough, man. A little brace on your tricep with, you know, you stuck at this angle and there's pins all through your skin, things like that. Rough rehab.
Well, make sure to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons postgame brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons postgame this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we do have some NBA news brewing with Kawhi Leonard. We'll break it down, what's happening there, and we've got him mic'd up.
Yeah, one of my childhood heroes from back in Pensacola was done completely wrong back in the 80s. That situation was made right very recently. I'll tell you who it is and what happened.
That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It's the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Garrett is hanging out behind the glass, and this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. So, got an interesting story going on with the NBA right now. Kawhi Leonard was allegedly paid $28 million for a no-show job with the Clippers to get around the NBA salary cap. Pablo Torre broke the news. Where do we start with this?
I was hoping you would tell
me.
There's a lot to unpack in this conversation, boy. No, and it was, you know, evidently the report that Pablo Torre had was the team facilitated a no-show endorsement deal with a now bankrupt, check this out, tree planting company.
Okay.
A tree planting company. I don't know how to take this, guys, and there's been a ton of back and forth. I know that if it's ever proven that this is exactly what happened, which I think is going to be hard to do, that Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, would be in. They forced the previous owner of the Clippers out, and this would be, to me, even a bigger deal than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is absolutely not something that you can partake in as an owner of any kind of, you know, sports franchise. So, I don't know. You're like, where do we start? I'm like, dude, your guess is as good as mine, because there is so much out there in terms of this, and this is an awful look.
Well, the first problem is that Steve Ballmer is the richest owner, I think, in the NBA. He might be the richest owner and one of the richest owners in sports. He's up there. I don't know all of these guys' worth. I don't know where the Glazers come in. I don't know where the Bombers come in. I don't know, you know, where all these guys are, but he is loaded. But this is circumventing the salary cap like we haven't seen in a while. It, you know, you're basically able to pay someone to stay. I think it was $28 million, is that what you said?
Yep.
More than anybody else can do it, and you're doing it illegally. I'm going to go back, and I don't know, Mike, I don't even know if you remember ever hearing about this, but back in the 80s and 90s, there was a guy named Eddie DeBartolo Jr. He owned the 49ers.
Yeah.
He went to jail, or he got in some kind of trouble about some kind of legal thing with the government, some kind of fraud thing. But he also was ripping off the NFL in a way where I say ripping off. He was circumventing the salary cap in this very exact way.
Yeah.
He would give guys like $20,000 to show up at whatever the monetary term is, not important, to show up at events or to be a part of companies so he could pay them more.
Yeah.
And the NFL, you know, there was a whole thing about this with the NFL, and that's why eventually he was kind of forced out as the owner. That's why the York family owns it. And look, I don't know the story, you know, every single detail to exactly, but that's the gist of it, right?
Right.
Would the league try to force Ballmer out, being as powerful as he is financially? I don't know. But I read something, and I don't even know where I saw it, because I just see stuff, and you're like, wait, who said that? Where did this come from? But that maybe the Knicks were going to be investigated with Jalen Brunson about this. I don't know if that's true or not. But I can tell you this is an egregious violation to me, because there are a lot of owners that aren't doing this, and it hasn't helped the Clippers win anything.
Yes.
But it's pretty freaking ridiculous.
Well, and two, this has happened in the NBA before. You remember Joe Smith back in 98, 99,
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was his second contract. He turned down an $80 million extension for like a $2 million contract, and then it was like, wait, what? That one, the owner, I believe, and the GM got like suspended for one season, but they got docked like 5 first-round draft picks, like something crazy. So I don't know. Since then, we've seen owners be forced out of the NBA, which I would not write that off on this one, but you're right. He's extremely loaded. I do want to read the tweet from Mark Cuban, though, because I think it's important to kind of give the other side of this equation. Cuban says, I'm on Team Ballmer. As much as I wish they circumvented the salary cap, Steve isn't that dumb. If he did try to feed KL money, Kawhi Leonard, knowing what was at stake for him personally in his team, do you think he would let that company go bankrupt? Knowing all creditors would be visible to the world, they got scammed, along with many others, crimes for which they pleaded guilty last week. And he said, it's sad that Pablo Torre didn't take the time to find out how these scammers pulled off their scam. The idea that the default is Ballmer is the bad guy is going to backfire on him. So,
well, it didn't backfire on Pablo with all the Belichick stuff, because he seemingly was spot on with all that. So,
yeah,
I don't know when Pablo Torre became an investigative reporter. I've said that before.
As soon as he launched a podcast,
well,
like, this is the time for the podcast.
I guess the thing for me is if you're ESPN, you let Pablo Torre out of your contract. You know, you had him at ESPN and you weren't having him do this investigative reporting for you. Why? Why did Pablo Torre leave ESPN and suddenly become one of the best sports investigative reporters? Because like in the last 6 months, he's broke multiple. I don't remember him ever breaking a story at ESPN. He was like an around the horn guy.
I was going to say, and around the horn doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Right? Does that coincide with one another? Like,
no.
Was that part of his contract? They were like, we're not doing around the horn, so we don't need you.
No, what I'm saying is why was he trying to break stories at ESPN and it was getting suffocated?
Oh, I know what you're saying. I'm just giving the other side of, like, maybe they're just dude, we're not doing around the horn anymore. You're really not.
No, I get that. But my thing is he never broke any stories there. How did he not break any stories there? Now he's got all these ways to break. Like, that just.
it's like a personal decision pivot in the middle of a career. You know what, man? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of writing these puff pieces. I think I'm going to go investigate somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think he has before. I just don't think any of them has been as big as the last two he's kind of put out
there. I just find it odd that to me, it would have been one of those things where, hey, I've got this story. Nah, you're not. We're partners. We're not going to do that. We're not going to. Now we're going to silence this a little bit. I'm not saying that's what happened.
I get where you're going. It just feels like at this point a little bit of a leap. But.
There's shady business everywhere, especially
at the
four-letter network.
But maybe it's more so, like, it just sounds ridiculous, but like a scheduling thing. When you are employed like that, you have a lot of tasks you got to handle. Now, a little bit more freelance free time.
Yeah, that's fair.
To be able to dive deeper.
I also think that when you're tipped off about things like this and like the Belichick, like you were talking about, I think that would probably steer you. You know what I mean? If you knew you had just a massive story,
mm-hmm.
and you were a few weeks away from being like a free agent journalist, that you knew you were going to go there, like you'd be like, you know what, man? This is the time.
Right.
It's time to launch Pablo Torre 2.0. You know what I mean? And throw this thing out there and make sure I'm, you know, I'm getting this story, to stack my pockets a little bit.
I just wonder what kind of, if I'm the NBA or if I'm Pablo Torre, and I know Garrett told me that reportedly Mark Cuban's going to go on Pablo's podcast.
Huh.
But here's the thing for me. What kind of skeletons you got in your closet, Cuban, or the NBA? Now, he doesn't outright own the team anymore.
Right, I was going to say.
He's sold majority interest, but he still has ownership in the Mavericks. But I'm like, what do you got going on over there?
Is there a chance that the truth of this Kawhi Leonard Clipper deal just is like in the middle? Like, is there a chance that, like, yes, he signed a team friendly contract?
But he didn't. What? He didn't really sign that team friendly.
I mean, it was 4 year once. He could have gotten more money than that. 4 year 170 or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, that's just. I mean, that's.
I know it's outrageous, but it's NBA money also, is outrageous.
He also plays like 30 games a year these days.
Yeah, I know. But my point being is that, like, is there any chance it was down the middle and he's just like, I'm going to sign this deal because I know that this tree planting company is also out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if they're going to give me 28, that's actually more. What do you got, Garrett?
So supposedly he's going after Jalen Brunson's contract. So speaking of those team-friendly contracts, Jalen Brunson signed a very famously team-friendly contract, so they can bring in a lot of people. So that might be the next big thing to jump into.
Yeah, I know you were recent. I said that earlier. I just didn't know who I saw it from. I couldn't remember who I saw it from, who I confirmed. But yeah, it's good. And that's again. But now I'm like, but let's start looking at all these. But that dude, I have a real problem with it. If this is true, I have a real problem. Huh?
It stinks.
Yeah. Well,
it stinks. It makes me mad.
It's. I don't care what you want to say. It is. It's cheating.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it is. It just so happened that you picked the wrong player to do it with because that guy doesn't hardly play in the league anymore. He's always all on the bench, injured.
As always, Mic'd Up, brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. And guys, we all have those hometown heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are a little bit different because the Atlanta metro area is so massive. You have to kind of decide, am I from Atlanta? Or am I from Paulding County?
Well, I'm from both. If I'm in Georgia, I'm from Paulding County. If I'm in, like, you know, I don't know, South Florida, I'm like, where are you from? Dallas, Georgia. Where?
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Okay, how far is that from Atlanta? Like, about 40 minutes.
What do you think I'm supposed to say then? If I'm like, hey, where are you from? I'm from Pensacola. They're like, where? What do I say?
Stay at 30A. Ha!
You've lost your mind. That's hilarious.
Florida. You just said Florida.
Yeah, the panhandle.
Yeah, the panhandle. Exactly. The central time zone part of Florida. You know, that side.
Yeah.
Exit 7 on I-10.
Just say,
I mean?
Just
way
say,
close to Alabama.
Just say panhandle.
Anyways, so back in Pensacola, we are always we love our athletes, obviously. A ton of big athletes come from Pensacola. My heroes growing up. Were always guys like Derrick Brooks was from Pensacola. Emmitt Smith, obviously probably the most famous Pensacolian of all time. How about Don Sutton? Don Sutton was from Pensacola. Bubba Watson.
Very nice. Pensacola.
Like a lot of good ones, right? A lot of good. Justin Gatlin's from Pensacola. But Roy Jones Jr. was one of those guys that always wore his hometown on his sleeve and was always very, very proud to be from Pensacola. And he would say it. I mean, he would win his boxing matches and win titles, and he would go, Pensacola in the house. All right, so we always kind of looked up to him as a hero. Well, if you guys don't know this story, back in 1988, he was an Olympian. He was 19 years old. He was in a gold medal match, and the guy he was facing was Park Si-hoon, I believe is how you say his name. So this boxing match was in South Korea. The boxer he was facing in the gold medal match was South Korean.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it was very evident to everybody involved in the situation that Roy Jones won this match. All right. His margin of total punches, 86 to 32. All right. 20 to 3 in round one, 30 to 15 in round two, 36 to 14 in round three. All right. The judges said, nope, it wasn't Roy Jones. The South Korean is actually going to win this match. Now, after this match, all these judges were suspended for 6 months. Two of them were eventually kicked out for the remainder of their career, never allowed to judge a boxing match ever again. All right, why do I bring this up? Well, because recently it's been uncovered. This actually happened a couple of years ago, back in 2023, but the story finally came out just this week that Park Si-hoon traveled all the way to Pensacola, Florida, to bring Roy Jones Jr. his gold medal and wanted to admit to him that he knew that he lost that match and everybody else involved. Even one of the judges has admitted since then that he just wanted to have one voter in favor of the South Korean because it was in South Korea, and he didn't think anybody else would actually award the match to the South Korean, and everybody did exactly the same thing.
Wow.
It's kind of a tragic story. The South Korean boxer actually went through, like, he quit boxing afterwards because there was so much ridicule around his win that he never boxed professionally. And he actually overcame a couple of suicide attempts and other things that because he went in such a deep depression. He actually, years later, became a PE teacher in South Korea, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So he shows up in Pensacola just a couple years ago, and through a translator, he says, "This has always been yours, and it is yours now, and I want you to have it." Gives him the gold medal. Just kind of a crazy story.
Really cool gesture. You talk about dirty, which I'm like, the whole stuff with the cheating and everything. Is there anything dirtier than the Olympic committee?
There's really not.
And the IOC or whatever they're called.
The judges go to, you know, the Winter Olympics, the ice skating. Yeah. Like
it
that,
is all so dirty, man.
What was the documentary called? Icarus? Where the
Icarus?
Russian. Icarus? Icarus?
You know, like the Greek mythology, Icarus?
Yeah, I know. What's funny is I took Latin. I don't know who.
Wow.
You didn't know that word. Don't even look at this man sitting over here acting like he knew that word.
I'm sorry.
Stop it.
If I saw Icarus on a piece of paper, I would know how to pronounce it.
No, you would not.
Icarus.
You are so full.
You don't know the legend of Icarus?
No, I don't.
You don't know? Yes, you do.
Yes, you
flew
do.
Flew too close to the sun, yes. and his wings melt.
They melted.
Yeah.
No,
are you serious?
No. I am not going to let you get
come
away
on.
With this, Bo.
Oh, no.
I know the legend of Icarus.
Icarus and his father were flying off the island, and one flew too close to the sun.
Icarus.
I guess they don't
very
teach
common
that down
expression.
In Pensacola.
Anyway.
Flew too close to the sun.
To wrap a bow on it, that's one of my hometown heroes, and he was finally a wrong was made right for Roy Jones Jr. I love to hear it.
That's amazing. I do want to continue kind of on this theme because I think a lot of us have some famous people from our hometowns. I got a big one. I went to high school with a big one. I've got the yearbook that said he was most likely to be famous. I'll reveal.
And he was.
I mean, I'm from Duluth, so it's pretty obvious. But I'll reveal that next. And we've also got the wake-up call. If you have a hometown hero, someone famous from your neighborhood, someone you went to school with, call in right now, 404-726-0929. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, along with the wake-up call. We've also got a life of squid.
Well, imagine watching $1 million sink to the bottom of the ocean. And I'm not talking about that scene in Titanic. Next, Morning Show Sports Radio 910 of the Game and
the Odyssey app.